Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hi, I'm Mijon Zulu, lead podcast producer at Consequence. And we're excited to announce the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast exclusively on Amazon Music. As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back to celebrate all the year's best in music and entertainment. This year, we'll be giving fans inside access to interviews with the biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers of the past 12 months. Plus, discussions with the Consequence team about our best of the year lists, all as part of the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast. And you can only hear it on Amazon Music. What's more, new subscribers can get 3 months free of Amazon Music Unlimited, which now includes access to Audible's catalog of over 1 million audiobooks with one free book a month. Sign up at tryamazonmusic.com/COS and catch all our annual report content at consequence.net. Again, that's tryamazonmusic.com/COS for 3 full months of Amazon Music Unlimited and consequence.net for our full annual report.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Adrian from Seven Spires, and you're listening to Beyond a Voice Club on Consequence.
If you're looking for a crazy, just out of control metal band, everything from like super heavy, screamy death metal stuff to melodic, just beautiful symphonic metal. If you want it all, if you want a band that can do it all, check out Seven Spires, which is an awesome band I discovered really not too long ago, but they've got a new record out, A Fortress Called Home, on June 21st via Frontiers Music. I think one of the things I really love about this band is that their music is really about deep topics, and they get really personal in their music, and you can understand what they're talking about too, and it's relatable, but at the same time, it's theatrical and very dramatic, which is, I think, hard to put those two things together. On the show, I'm very excited to have Adrian Cohen, who is their lead vocalist. Awesome person. We're going to talk all about the new record, her journey into music, and much more. Don't forget, if you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence and hit subscribe. And if you listen on Apple Music, please leave a 5-star review. Thanks for your awesome support. All right, we're right back with Adrian from Seven Spires.
Well, Adrian, it's awesome to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. And I definitely want to get into all the great stuff going on with Seven Spires. But first, I love to go back and kind of dig into the history of these women who I have on the show. So tell me, how did you first get into music?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think there was never a time that I wasn't into music. We always had music playing in the house. My dad was a DJ back in the 80s. My parents told me that I was always singing in the house, and my mom was like, yeah, your life is like a musical. And I think before I could even walk, like when I was just sitting up, my parents would put a keyboard in front of me and I would just make noises. It wasn't good, obviously. but yeah, I would say I've always been into music, and I was maybe like a teenager when I thought, maybe I'll give this a real shot.
What kind of station was your dad at?
So he was working in clubs. In Austin.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like a radio DJ. You mean like a club DJ?
Like a club DJ, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's really cool.
Yeah. We had some of the equipment in the house, like when I was a kid. So I just remember, like, this, it was probably not that big, but when I was a kid, the giant subwoofer in the house and, like, yeah, you know, stuff like that.
What was the first music that you got exposed to, like the genre?
I guess like house music and like dance and classical. And I don't know, they played a lot of stuff in the house. It wasn't just like we were only listening to this kind of thing. I mean, we also had Queen playing in the house. I remember vividly the day that my parents pulled me inside. I was like playing with the dog or something. And they were like, Bohemian Rhapsody is playing right now. And you need to know about this song. This is important. If you've never heard the song and you are a small child, so you've never heard it. My uncle also, when I was maybe 10 or 11, he gave me a CD back when we were burning CDs, you know, and it was full of like entry, like a crash course in 80s rock and metal. So there was like Rocky Like a Hurricane, some AC/DC, some Metallica, you know, things like that.
All the good stuff. Was there something that really you were drawn to more than the other genres? Like when you heard it, you were like, oh my gosh, I really want to start doing music.
Well, again, like it was in a way, music was a language that I was always speaking. But I think when I began my own sort of discovery of music, I was super drawn to rock, like theatrical rock music. Really, really loved Welcome to the Black Parade, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge from My Chem. And then one day when like Napster and like things like that were a thing, we were just starting to be able to be exposed to new artists in that way, like actively seeking them out. I remember I found, it was like within the same period of like 6 months, maybe, I found Angry Again by Megadeth and Children of Bodom and like some other, those were like the main ones, I guess. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. That's something different. I loved the stuff that my uncle showed me, but this was a different type of aggression and just a different darker energy, especially from Bodom, that just felt right to me, I guess. And here I am.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Were your parents like, whoa, how did you go from house music, our house music influence, to this? Or were they cool with it?
They were cool with it. You know, like I think I had a background, my laptop background was like a guitar player from a band that I liked for a while. And my dad would be like, oh, haha, what is this adolescent thing that you have? But yeah, they were cool with it. I mostly kind of kept it to myself, just because I didn't want to bother them with it. But my mom took me to some shows. We used to go to, like, we went to see like Lacuna Coil together. And my dad, actually both my parents and I went to see like Judas Priest together. So they were really supportive and they saw that I loved it and that I was willing to work hard for it and do it.
That's so great. I went with my mom to see Judas Priest once. It was fun.
Oh, that's great. I love when I go to, or when I'm playing a show and I see like a dad and his son or like a mom and her daughter. I'm like, that's how it happened for me. This is so nice.
That is nice. Do you see that a lot?
Not super often, but it's not rare.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So tell me about how Seven Spires formed and just the whole story behind that.
Sure. Back in 2012, I was living in England and I was going to school at this place called the Academy of Contemporary Music. And I was working in a lot of rock bands at the time. I was 16 and 17. So like in high school, basically getting an associate's degree, the equivalent. And I was happy, but I was like, man, I really want to do something a bit darker, a bit more theatrical. And so I was writing my own music, like doing demos and stuff, writing about different topics than I was addressing with the stuff that I was currently studying at the time. And those became the demos for Seven Spires. But I didn't meet the guys until I moved to Boston in 2013. I got a full ride to Berkeley, and so I was like, I have to leave England and go to my dream school. And in my first week at Berkeley, I was at the bookstore buying textbooks for class, you know, and I was in line. I was wearing a Nightwish shirt from the Imaginarium tour, and there's this guy in a brown leather jacket with long hair standing in front of me, also waiting to buy his books. And Def Leppard was playing, like, on the radio. I don't remember what the first things we said to each other. I think he like complimented my shirt or something. And I think he had a seven string on his back. And anyway, that was Jack. I remember after he like waited for me outside after he paid for his books. And he was like, let me know if you ever get the rest of your band together and maybe we can do something. So I gave him my business card. And I remember going home that night and I was like, what do you mean if you don't know who I am? Clearly, obviously, he literally didn't know who I was. But when I want to do something, I will throw my entire self into it until it works out. So that's how I met Jack. We were working on demos together for a few years, just trying to find the right people. I met Dovis, our old drummer, when he was 15 through a friend of a friend. And that friend is now the guitar player, Dee Snider, which is crazy.
Wow.
And Jack knew Pete from a band that they played together in when they were like 13. So, but of course, the four of us did all go to Berklee kind of at the same time, not really. Like there's like a 4 year, like I'm the oldest and then Jack's 1 year younger and then Pete went almost 1 year younger and then Dovis. So it was, we weren't really there at the same time, but we kind of were. So yeah, that's basically how it happened. Obviously, Dovis is now with Testament. I saw him last night at a show here in Boston. We got to catch up. It was super nice. And now we're working with a fill-in drummer that we met online, who is just the best ever. He's an amazing person. And we just took him on the tour with us to through Europe.
That's so great.
It's crazy what you can do on the internet these days, right?
I know it is. I love it. It's good and bad. Good and bad things.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. That's true.
What do you think it is about like the chemistry that you guys have as a band that really worked from the get-go? I know that you've had, you know, some lineup changes, as you mentioned, but like what about it really gelled?
I think there's a big mutual respect between all of us. The fact that we're all really open musically to hearing, I mean, we kind of live by making and also consuming art without limits. So we're not like, we will only be a symphonic metal band. Anything else is bad and dumb. That's not our vibe at all. We love learning, but I think the thing that's really most important is who we are fundamentally as musicians, which is we are all extremely set on our goals, and it so happens that all of our goals align and we love to work together. And I think who we are as people, we're all very close friends, and that makes a really big difference. So it's almost like that's not something that you find out until like a while of working together. I think that's why the longevity is there and why the trust and the love and the art has continued to grow in this way.
That's so great. Well, you guys have a new record out this year, A Fortress Called Home.
Yes.
So tell me about this set. What makes it special and unique for you guys? And kind of take me inside the process of doing this one.
Okay. Well, what makes it special and unique? I would say this is probably our best work so far. I mean, I know every band says that about, but like we're all extremely proud of this record. I would easily say it's some of the ugliest stuff that we've ever made, but I think there's beauty in that. And I think that's kind of maybe even the point of a lot of the songs, is really examining the dark parts of the human experience. and instead of ignoring it or pushing it down, really like facing it and saying like, I see you, you're a part of me. How can we make this work? How can I, like, yeah. So I think that's pretty unique and
Absolutely,
special.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think we do that with every album. It's just a matter of like, I don't know, I was like 17, 18 when we wrote like the first couple of songs. And now I'm 29. So life experience, growing up, going to therapy, we learn more about ourselves, more about the world, more about how to be with other people and the way the stories are told. The stories are not that they're not the same, not that they are the same, but they're just, I feel that there's more context and detail and mindfulness in the way that these things are told now.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
So what are you most proud of with this record? Is it, it sounds like you're really proud of the themes and kind of like the deep stuff that you cover in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's always like a signature thing for us, I think. I'm always afraid to put these songs out because it's like, well, you're all getting a good look at it now, aren't you? But what am I most proud of? I feel like this is a hard question because I'm extremely proud of so much. Even just the progression in everyone's musicianship, I think, is really something to, yeah, I'll toot our own horns about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when did Gods of Debauchery come out? That was 2021, I think. That was our last album. And since then, we did so many tours, and specifically like my harsh vocals. Last year, I did 5 weeks filling in for a death metal band, like Elveti, basically. And so this was like the first chance that I really had to focus on death metal vocals. I learned so much about vocal care and different disgusting sounds that I can make, and just expressing different emotions, different stories with that darker, harsher palette. And I feel like that's very present on this record, which is perfect because there's also a lot of pain on this record.
Do you think that your next record and the new music you do will follow the same suit, or do you think you'll go back to something more melodic?
I really have no idea. I have some like half-baked demos on my computer at home, but to be honest, I couldn't tell you anything about how the next one is going to sound. It's really just going to depend on what kind of things that we all live through, and the road will decide.
Yeah.
Basically.
So one of the tracks you released off it is Architect of Creation. So tell me about that track and why you wanted to get it out there early.
Good question. So this was not on my personal shortlist of like potential singles, but somebody that's like close to us on our team, not in the band, but like sort of an honorary family member, was like, guys, you should really consider this one because it has everything that you do. It has your clean vocals, it has harsh vocals, it has crazy orchestration, it has melodies, it has bass tapping, it has a cool guitar solo. Like, you could make a sick video. I think people will really like kind of lose their shit about this one. Please consider it. And so we considered it, and now you've heard it early. And I do really love this song. I mean, I love all of our songs, but I think this one is special in its unabashed theatricality. For me, it really just sounds like pure mania. And yeah, I don't necessarily think about like, oh, this would be a perfect like radio hit, or like, this is so commercial, but it's like, well, here's an honest thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe some people have felt like this. We can make a cool video.
Yeah, you mentioned have some tracks on your short list. So what were some of those tracks, and why did you think that you wanted them to be singles?
Well, our first single, Almost Town, was definitely on that list. But that was the day that Jack and I were working on this song. I think the demo basically wrote itself. It was very weird. Just sometimes it just works. You sit down with a cup of coffee, the whole day goes by, you leave the studio and you have a song.
Wow, yeah.
And I remember we did a whole bunch, like hours and hours and hours of work, and then we finally listened to it front to back, and he looked at me and he was like, that's the first single.
Nice.
And actually, I think pretty much the next single, which is coming, was also on my short list because it might be my favorite song on the record, and I'm not sure. That also changes like weekly, but I just think it's a gorgeous and heartfelt song, and it's also like a super fun, like kind of mellow death bop. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah, the way I would choose singles is like I try to show the facets of the album, because yeah, we have many different sounds, and I know that when we are like gaining new fans, for example, they can come from a lot of places. I mean, when we were a local band doing like opening for the tours that would come through town, we opened for like Sonata Arctica and also Flesh God Apocalypse. So we're gaining fans from both sides. And I think it's important to keep that in mind when we release new music, just to say like, I think you might like this. I think you might like this. And it's not at all that I would say I need to cater to somebody's thing, but it's like, I know all of these are great. I would hope that most feel that way about their creations, but I know it's not true. But I have great confidence in everything that we've made. And I just think like, well, I particularly like this one, and maybe you would like this one too. This one's important to me, but aside from that, I think you would probably like the riffs in this one and the vibe. Yeah, that's how I personally pick them, but I'm certainly not like a label executive. I just make music and talk to our supporters. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I think that no matter what singles you guys pick, it's a winner no matter what, because all your music is obviously very genuine and very from the heart and stuff. So you really can't go wrong with whatever you pick, but it's also smart to pick tracks that really represent the album, like you said, and show the different facets of what people can expect.
I agree. That's all I'll say about that.
What draws you to heavy music?
Great question.
I ask myself this a lot because I love it too. And I'm like, why do I love it so much?
Yeah, why do I like it when people are yelling? I know at first it was like when I was like a teenager and just starting to get into it, it was just badass. It's just cool, man. Beneath that, I would say that I have a lot of darkness inside. And so heavy music, aggressive music that really, I don't know, it's like an outlet for that because I don't want to be the sort of person that externalizes that darkness on other people. And I think it's also important to let it out in a safe way. So yeah, heavy music is a great place for that, both as a consumer and as a creator. And then the other thing that also was super important, especially as I was first kind of getting into it, is like when I was at this music school in England, there was an after school extracurricular club where like all the metal kids would get together and jam on a song once a week. And then we would have two performances each year just from our shared repertoire, which was really cool. I loved the people in this metal club. I felt most at home with them. They were like the nicest people, the most genuine, just the people that I vibed with the most. And that's something that really draws me to it as well as metal musicians themselves.
Yeah, the community of metal music, I think, is so strong. And yeah, and that totally makes sense. Of musicians and listeners.
Yeah, I feel at home. It's where I feel at home, let's say. I also really enjoy a lot of other genres. But when I go to, let's say, like we have the House of Metal, where I definitely feel great. But if I go to like the house of like pop music or the house of like funk music, I will go there, spend a couple of hours, have a great time. I definitely don't fit in. I mean, look at me. And then I go home and I'm like, all right, well, that was fun. Can we have some blast beats now? Because I need some balance again.
Right. Oh, that's great. Did you ever feel like any pushback being a woman in music? You came into music a little bit later than some of the guests I have on. So I'm curious if like by the time you got into the music world and especially the metal world, if you felt any like weirdness or anything being a woman.
I did a little bit, especially like in the early 2010s, I guess. I mean, the women that worked in the industry before me, I think for decades really suffered a lot. And I think they walked so that people in my shoes could run. And I think about this all the time. This is like, as the kids say, this is my Roman Empire. But I think if I ever see like any sort of pushback now, these days, it's like when I'm in a, basically like if I'm playing like a local show, which I don't really do anymore, or like when you're playing Wacken, nobody looks at you weirdly for being a woman. And that's just a nice thing. When you're like in a like small town music store wearing like a sweater and leggings and you're like, I'm looking for in your monitors, that's where the guy's going to be like, well, you know, this is pretty pro audio. You don't really need this unless you're going on tour. And then I have to be like, listen, I'm leaving for tour tomorrow. I need these because I left my other ones in my flight case, which is halfway across the country. I know you have these.
Right.
Can you just go get that? Like, yeah. Don't do them.
Yeah.
But even that was like 5 years ago. So I think most of the time, if I ever see any sort of pushback, it's mostly people like saying disgusting things, like sexual
right.
things.
Yeah.
And this is a whole other topic, right? Because I also think it's not a bad thing to embrace all aspects of who you are as an artist. And if you look good, you look good. That's not a problem. But the thing is, like, I don't look at comments anymore, like on YouTube or anything. Sometimes I do if I'm having a good day, but most of the time, I just don't want to see like some idiot who's like, oh, what if she screams like that in bed?
Or right,
like,
right.
You know, like, this is so below the radar of things that I need to worry about that I just don't put myself in spaces where I could encounter it. And that's it.
Yeah, you don't have the time. I mean, you have more important things to do than like sit there and absolutely. And, you know, especially with online comments and stuff, like they're going to take anything and make something sexual out of it or whatnot.
Absolutely. And for example, like if I post something and somebody asks about, let's say, my feet, like it's a known thing within like my personal community that like just don't ask Adrian for feet pics, that she will block you, that like this is not welcome. I'm not here to like say anything bad about people that like certain things. It's just like this is not
right.
Don't come at me with this because I don't want that. But the thing that I wanted to share was that the people that usually have rude things or sexual things to say in like a disrespectful way are usually the people that feel threatened by me just being competent.
For sure.
Achieving the level of success that I have.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm better than anybody. I don't think that I'm worse than anybody. But that's why I say if somebody has something weird to say, it's so below the radar of things that should impact me.
No, absolutely. It is a smart and very rational way to look at it. I think that sometimes if people in the public eye let their emotions take control of them like that, which is hard not to do sometimes, like you can be like, oh, I get sucked in. But it's a very rational approach you have, though. Like, you know what? I've got stuff going on and, you know, I'm making a life, like I'm making amazing music. I've got stuff to do. I can't let this drag me down. It's a very mental choice, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I fought for years to have that, and it finally is solidified as the default setting. The other part of this is also that if I focus on those bad things, it means that I have a limited amount of energy that I get per day. And if I focus on those bad things, it's actually disrespectful of me to not acknowledge all the people who are like, we love you, we support you.
Yeah, they deserve your energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then if we have good synergy and we're all supporting each other and being grateful and everything, that can grow. If I'm giving my energy to the people that want to tear me down, I'm not growing. They're not growing either, actually. This is why would we spend time doing that at all when we could be with the people that are.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a pretty good experience with the professional musicians and people who you've dealt with. You don't feel like you've gotten harassed or whatever being a woman. Like you felt pretty accepted early on with the professionals that you've worked with, which is good.
Yes, there was a point in my early 20s where I think I wasn't quite seen as like a legit somebody in the scene. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I was seen as more of like a young girl.
Yeah.
That was so crushing because I wanted to be acknowledged as an equal by these people. And I was seen as not.
Right.
I was seen as something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after I joined Avantasia, let's say, and I was able to really make things happen there and with Seven Spires and just being proud of my work and being visible with my work, I felt like these people that would talk to me this way had absolutely nothing to offer me that would give them any power over me. And so I have quite a vendetta against people that would look at women in that way,
mm-hmm.
because of that power imbalance, especially for young women.
Yes.
But of course, I mean, I had the same experiences that like probably every woman has where you like roll up to the small venue and they're like, are you gonna play that all by yourself, sweetheart? I'm like, yes, I have a degree.
Right.
Like, thank
yeah.
you.
Or like, where's your boyfriend in the band? Or yeah, are you here with your boyfriend?
Playing somewhere in Scandinavia on the last tour, and I was carrying a merch box because I was helping with load-in, and I put it next to the merch stuff, and a woman who's working at the venue asked me, are you the merch person? And I said, no, I'm the singer. And she was like, oh, sorry. That was it for the conversation.
Yeah.
I was like, that's an easy mistake. No worries. And then as I was going back to the trailer to get more stuff, I was like, that was weird. Because like, if that happened 10 years ago, I would have been like, I'm not the merch person. Like, fuck you. But it was such an honest and easy mistake. She was like, oh, my bad. And I was like, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like so much progress has been made there that it's really genuinely like that can just be an easy mistake. And I mean, I was literally holding a box of t-shirts.
Right.
Look like the freaking merch person.
And her reaction says it all. Because like, you know, I've had people on who say that someone's like, oh, so you're here with your boyfriend. And they're like, no, I'm this singer. And they're like, no, I don't believe you or whatever. Like, so her reaction was fine.
Yeah, exactly. And it was also funny because it was coming from another woman. It was,
right.
If it was a guy, maybe, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have been different.
I would think Scandinavia would be pretty forward thinking on the whole women thing. I mean, they were like the first countries to have female prime ministers and stuff. So I would think they'd be pretty equal over there.
And I mean, I do still get the like, how are you such a little lady with such a big angry voice? But that's like almost a meme at this point. Like, I know I scream big and am small, but they're like, okay.
Yeah.
But if that's the interaction you would like to have today, we can have that interaction. Yes. Little lady scream big.
Yeah. Maybe they would say it to a little guy too. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't know. I've never been a little guy before. So
I don't know either. But well, what is next for you?
So we have the new single. The next one is coming in a month or so. We have the album coming out on June 21st. And we will headline Mile High Power Fest in the US this year in August. We're going to Japan in December with Lords of the Trident as a co-headliner. We're bringing, I think, 40 of our patrons with us. And it's like, we play, it's a 2-week trip. We're gonna play shows. We'll have a couple of days off to go and do like touristy things.
Oh, fun.
And I'm so excited. I was just in Japan in February working for Sonic Symphony. And I loved my time there and I made lots of friends. I really hope that they can come out to some of the shows because I would love to see them. And I think it'd be so funny. We're working on video game music together. And I think it'd be so funny for them to come see me and I'm screaming my ass off.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for hanging out. It was a lot of fun. And I cannot wait to hopefully see you guys in concert soon. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Adrian Cohen from Seven Spires, thanks for being an awesome guest on Beyond the Boys Club and Consequence. Really down to earth, and I love all the stuff that she said about just the different things she's been through and how she handles the online comments. I never really thought about the fact that if you give your energy to the negative people on there and the negative comments, it's kind of a disrespect to the people who love you and who are saying great things to you online, which I really love how she pointed that out. And yeah, check out their latest record, their brand new release, A Fortress Called Home, out on June 21st. You won't be disappointed. It's just like a ton of different sounds in there, super experimental. And yeah, just kind of keeps you on your toes for the entire release. Zane Erickson, as always, you rock. Thanks for hanging out with me. And until next time, keep rocking.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.